Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. If they do, you win $200. That's right, $200 in free bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank is doing the autopsy on the Saturday's game versus Illinois. And it's not pretty. The last thing I just want to mention, we were talking about Illinois' offense versus Penn State's defense. And the last thing we were talking about was going up front, playing like a goal line defense, forcing Illinois to pass the ball. And I can understand why you don't want to do that. If you put the ball in the hands of Art Sitkowski to win the game for you, that's got to be a scary thing for the defense, correct?
Yeah, and they needed I mean, ultimately, that's what happened when Illinois didn't score for most of the game. It was because their running game, Penn State, got enough stops to get them to third and eight, and then they just hammered the Illinois offense. And to me, that was the biggest surprise in this game. Was that was a good front, and as much as I was giving them credit for being veteran offensive linemen, good technique, it's not like they're the best athletes in the world. It's a good unit. It's a good unit. But Penn State, if they're at full strength, can contend with that unit. And then I guess I was just surprised that they were that much of an advantage against the Penn State defensive front, that they were able to control the flow of the game. That Illinois offense is not good. And you will see that once a team that is healthy up front can stop that run, they will not be as productive because it doesn't matter. Brandon Peters, Art Sitkowski, doesn't matter. Their passing game is so inept that it will lose them the rest of the games that they don't run the ball.
And I think that's the point that frustrates Penn State fans. Now, we got to flip to the other side of the ball, T. Frank, because as you correctly pointed out, with all that said, as much as Illinois ran all over Penn State, they scored 10 points in regulation, just 10 points. Now, mm-hmm. part of that was they turned the ball over. And before I get to the Penn State offensive side, one last question. The play where the ball was fumbled, Illinois had the ball inside their own 5-yard line, fumbled the ball, mad scramble in the end zone. The only question was safety or Penn State touchdown. What happened there?
objectively a bad officiating again. So again, it's a judgment call that his momentum was stopped because there was a player around his ankles holding the guy up, and then Jaquan Brisker eviscerated him, and in the rain he fumbled the football. Now that's a bang bang play, and because it is a opinion call, because it's a subjective call, you can't review it. So they just didn't. Like, there's no recourse from that. So they call it a touchdown. Then they call it off. And, like, I understand that they wanted to get the call right, and I understand that the process is call it a touchdown and then review it. But you can't review that first part. So they decided on the field after giving the touchdown that they couldn't review it, so they had to call it stopped progress. And to me, in that situation, that is an opinion call, and it was a hair's breadth either way. Don't make that determination. Go to the film. Because you've already made the determination it was a touchdown with your head official. So, like, just the optics of it were terrible. And it's the play got on top of them. And this always happens, it seems, now in college football. It's not just Penn State. Officiating in college football is bad because I don't think there are enough good officials, because no one wants to do that job and be booed by 100,000 people and travel all over the country. to be booed by 100,000 people. So I think it is it's a complex problem, but it is actually a problem that officials are that bad.
Well, the other question on it I had, T. Frank, was a lot of times you could say, "Oh, did the whistle blow?" I don't think the whistle blew.
Nope.
So then, shouldn't there be a whistle blown when forward momentum is stopped?
And right,
I thought
they didn't.
That was always the determining factor.
And they retroactively decided that because they didn't blow the whistle. They were gonna. So it's two different things. It's the idea that we are going to let the play out and then review it, and that's why there's no whistle. But then afterwards, they retroactively blew the whistle and then told us about it. Again, the play got on top of them, and that can't happen.
Okay, so we'll go with it was a bad call,
and
poorly managed by the officials. I think that was perhaps even bigger than. You know, bad calls, it was poorly managed calls, and we even saw that later on in the game where the play ends and 5 minutes later we get the call.
Yep.
I promised we would talk about Penn State with the ball, and it was obvious that Sean Clifford was hurting, and it was pretty obvious they couldn't run the ball. That's a pretty bad combination. Just how limited, from what you saw, T. Frank, how limited was Sean Clifford?
Unfortunately, we only have about 6 minutes left because we could do a lot more on this. So the point is that Sean Clifford this season had been getting better at the nuanced parts of playing the position of quarterback. And he wasn't on Saturday. That all of that work was undone by the injury, and that's from the mental aspect, not from the physical aspect. But they do play one into the other because, and James Franklin says after the game, you know, running is a big part of his game. So against man coverage, you have to be aware and you have to keep guys out of the coverage pattern to account for Sean Clifford breaking contain against man coverage because he'll run for 40 yards. He's good at escaping the pocket. He knows where the escape routes are and he can get yards. That part is gone. So you can dedicate more players into coverage to cover those players. As a scrambler, without the threat of him crossing the line of scrimmage, players can play their zones with discipline. They don't have to rush up and stop him. So the receivers had to work extra hard to get open in those scramble drills. Other than Jahan Dotson on that comeback on the scramble drill to the outside, that didn't happen. And because he's limited, he wasn't fast, he wasn't quick, he wasn't mobile, so the rush got to him. So all those advantages of his game were gone. So he had to win the game from the pocket, and he is not capable of doing that. And that is the basic of it. Back to not wanting to check the ball down. He started doing that again because he started pressing, knowing he had a limited toolbox of what he was working with. It is my assumption. I don't know what's going on in his head, but based on the film, he was trying very hard to do one thing and forgetting to do a bunch of other things. And it also is give credit to Illinois. They disguised their coverage better than anybody probably but Indiana so far this season. And maybe even a little bit better. They had a great plan not only to attack Sean Clifford and his view post-snap, but also the pre-snap movements and disguising and baiting Mike Yurcich into calls that they wanted and they knew were coming and they would attack.
What's a bit frustrating in that explanation, T. Frank, and a great explanation on what was happening with Sean Clifford, but when you start to say Illinois game-planned well and fooled Mike Yurcich or forced him into doing the wrong thing, I'll call it. And on the other side of the ball, we were talking about how Illinois game planned with the extra linemen. It's frustrating when we hear both sides of the ball. It sounds like Penn State's coaching staff was outcoached by Illinois. Fair take on that?
I give more leniency to the defensive side of the ball given the extreme limitations they had up front. There's only so much you can do with the players available and with their strengths and weaknesses, and that was a known thing coming into the game. So on the offensive side of the ball, Penn State ran the ball 7 of 8 times to start the game. Clearly coming in, they wanted to protect Sean Clifford. And this is another thing I've talked about this week, is their plan for attack up front when running the football was, we're going to rep it out of the next 2 weeks, and we're just going to be better at the thing we haven't done well all season, which is the inside zone, outside zone, and counter and power. And those didn't work. And the frustrating thing, I think, for Penn State fans should be that they... Illinois, and this is a fair, I think this is a fair criticism. Illinois came out with a game plan. They watched the film. They saw a weakness. They attacked it with a new formation. Penn State saw a weakness up front of that front is not big or strong enough to run the system they're running. And Penn State thought that Juice Scruggs and Mike Miranda, who haven't moved people off the ball all season, were going to move the defensive nose tackle off the ball. And they didn't. And therefore, they didn't get any push in the run game. And the same problems came up. Caden Wallace, when he has to cut people off on those inside and outside zones, he struggled to do that. In power situations at the point of attack, they were not stout. All those problems were still there against Illinois because those are Penn State problems, not Illinois problems. So they didn't come out with a better offensive plan of attack in the running game with any wrinkle other than put more tight ends on the field who also aren't good blockers. So I do think that part is a fair criticism, but I will push back on the idea that after one game where Mike Yursich has been outcoached, and he has outcoached every single defensive coordinator he's seen, from mid-game adjustments against Wisconsin to what he did against Auburn to being able to win the game against Indiana with some limited Sean Clifford abilities that we talked about in the Illinois breakdown just now, those ones were present with Indiana. And he still found a way to win those games with what he had to work with. This was the first time that somebody... after that was able to attack the weaknesses at a disadvantage for Penn State with their quarterback, the engine of their offense being injured. So I don't believe that will happen again. I mean, they may be out-physicaled because the Ohio State has superior talent, but I don't think they'll be out-schemed again. I don't believe that Mike Yursich is going to let that stand.
And we haven't looked ahead to Ohio State. You've got 30 seconds, T. Frank. I know that's not very much. Tell us about this game coming up with the Buckeyes.
So it is, I'm watching film like right now. I'm early in the week, so I haven't gotten to the defensive side of the ball. Their offensive line gets push. That's going to be a problem. They're able to combo block. They're able to do all the things that Indiana did, but with better athletes and space. I do think Penn State has a better matchup there because they just are set up to play with and try and beat Ohio State. But C.J. Stroud, he's good enough as a quarterback right now, and those receivers are insane. I mean, they're going to just make plays on Joey Porter Jr. and Tariq Castro Fields. I think Penn State has a good chance, but they're just really good in making up for any mistake that the quarterback makes.
All right, T. Frank, that has to be it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to take your questions. We're going to ask T. Frank.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.